Are you part of a team that, well, maybe isn't functioning as well as, well, let's say, as well as you think it should? In the next few minutes, let's sit back and think about teamwork, what makes a good team, what disrupts a team, and what is good teamwork. Our special guests today, Gordon and Rosemary, have been involved in team building and counseling for many years, and they have good news for you if you think your team doesn't get top marks. Good teamwork is possible.
One of the important things that I would pick on first of all in a good team is communication, that they are communicating, that the communication is open and direct. So I would say communication number one, communication, communication. But then I would pick up several other factors. I think in many teams where you see creativity flowing, that one member is sparking the other off, whether it's ideas or whatever it is that they're supposed to, what the task is, and that leads into the next one, which would be there's an enthusiasm for the task that the team's involved in. Another one, I think, is clear vision, to know what they're about, to be aware of what their task or tasks are, not to be muddled and waffly about what they're supposed to be doing. The next one I would pick is that there's a balanced composition in the team. Sometimes we say that team is a good team, and yet they're all very different from one another. That may be part of the reason why it's a good team. It's because they're not all alike. If you have a team of people that are all alike, you get blind spots where they either can't do or they can't even see what's involved in what's going on. So that you need a balanced composition, different personality types, different skills and gifts.
Okay, so good communication is important in a team, but what does that mean really? What is good communication? What do members of a team talk about?
I think a really good team communicates about everything, not just about their task, but they will have friendship. They will talk about what's going on in their personal lives. They will be able to share whatever they're involved in. But essentially, they must be communicating about their task.
Going back to the point about balanced composition, observation has shown that teams that are very different actually have more conflict, more discussion, more difference, and sometimes take a long time to reach a decision, but those decisions are better. Teams that are very similar may actually come to agreement and think they get on very well and even think they're a good team, but they've got blind spots which they can't see. So the balanced team may not always feel as good.
Okay, so a good team knows how to communicate. But more than that, I guess a team is like a good family. They know how to handle conflicts.
They face the problem together. We're in it together. We're here together. We don't blame one individual. Something goes wrong. You don't say that's his fault and everyone blame that person. But they say, here's a challenge for this team. We've got a real challenge now. Let's look at what's happened. Let's see this mistake as an opportunity for growth, not only of the individual, but the whole team, and let's pull together on it.
We've learned some of the factors that make up a good team, but of course every team usually has a leader. So, how do you pick a leader? And what does it take to make a person a leader?
I think the leader is very important in all these aspects. I think you can't expect, though, that the leader will be the one who supplies all the enthusiasm, etc. It's very difficult to fire up a group of people who aren't fired up. So I think to put too much of an emphasis on the leader can actually put an impossible burden onto his shoulders. But I think leader is important. I guess if the leader's lost the vision of the task that they're involved in, then it might be the beginning of the end. And maybe that's best time for the leader to hand over to someone else who has got the vision.
We talk about two types of leader. One is the coordinator leader, and he may not be quite such a visionary, but he is able to ask the right questions and get a corporate vision from the team and then keep them to it. We also talk about a shaper leader, and he is more the visionary type who harnesses people to a vision he's got.
Some good ideas. Well, some teams work very well together. They have problems, they have rough spots, but they know how to work around them and still work together. What about the other kind of team? They are a team in name, and they do somehow get a job done, but they don't really work very well together.
Have you ever been into an office and you say you've got a problem and someone says, well, that's not my job? And you say, well, you know, where can I find an answer? Oh, well, that'll be Mary. And you say, well, can I talk to her? And they say, well, I don't know. No one ever tells me where she is. This sort of lack of cohesion, lack of ownership of the total task. Everybody's got their head down in their own little bit. And what goes on in the other bits of the task is nothing to do with them. So some tasks get left undone and there's blame. You know, you arrive next day, nobody had put the kettle on to make the tea for the church social. And, well, I thought you were going to do it. Well, I saw it wasn't done, but it wasn't my job. You've got the scenario. You've been there and you've seen it. Superficial level discussion. Meetings are sort of quiet, withdrawn. Everybody's waiting for someone else to speak. Nobody wants to put their first foot forward in case they're blamed. But lively discussion is a sign of a good team.
I think another thing that would show a poor team is where there's some grumbling about one another or about the leader, where there's gossip, where there's criticism. Some of these things that as Christians we seek to avoid may be caused partly by poor teamwork. So if you've got those things going on, you have to ask, why is this team not doing well? There's something in here that's causing them to grumble, to feel frustrated, to feel unfulfilled in being in the team.
Well, one thing we know, nobody is perfect. And that's something that is important to remember when you work in a team.
We expect far too much of each other as Christians. Because the other is a Christian, they should be perfect. People will let you down. People will make mistakes. Bear with one another. Make allowances, accept.
Now, what would be another symptom of a poor team?
Not giving sufficient time to the functioning of the team. In other words, we say, I haven't really got time to attend the meeting today. We'll cancel next week's team time because we're so busy. My answer would be, you're too busy. The team itself is an organism that needs maintenance and time and commitment. You'll get better results out of it. But teamwork is not addressed. It's a hidden subject, particularly when things are going wrong. We'd all rather shut our eyes and pretend it isn't happening rather than sit down, which can be painful, and say, come on, guys, things are not going well. What are we going to do? We're not pulling together. Addressing the issue, dodging the issue is the biggest failure.
Okay. We've learned something about teamwork today and what makes a good team and a not-so-good team. And yes, a team is a unit, it's an organism, but a team is made up of individuals. So what is the importance of the individual in a team?
Any team that doesn't allow the individual to be themselves is not functioning well as a team. We sometimes give people a whole set of cards, each of which has a different value on, and we say, rank these in accordance with how important you think it is. So each member of a team does the ranking and then explains to the others why they've chosen them. And one that comes out high is, allow me to be me, accept me as I am. So, yes, a good team allows a certain amount of idiosyncrasy, difference, doesn't force conformity. Individualism is allowed. Obviously, it can be taken to extremes, but it's important people are allowed to be themselves and to operate on their own fuel.
Gordon and Rosemary have been looking at some of the factors that make a good team, some of the factors that make a team function well. Things like communication, creativity, vision, and enthusiasm. We've learned that conflicts are even okay once in a while. And we've learned that a good team is made up of different personality types. Next week, Gordon and Rosemary will be with us again as we talk some more about teamwork, about the expectations and assumptions that team members have about each other and the team as a whole, and the direction the team is going.